It is February the 1st. I don't think it's January 31st anywhere anymore. It might be somewhere in some weird country, but as far as I'm concerned, it is February the 1st. We're here, just a bit of a bonus episode. It's a Saturday night. I had nothing better to do. Luckily for me, DMAC also had nothing better to do. So we are going to just talk about some trade rumors, the injury to DeJounte Murray today, some stash guys. We might get some questions if anyone's watching along. This is the Friday post game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. Don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere and everywhere you consume your fantasy basketball content. We are also part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter, at Old Man Squad on Blue Sky. Let me bring in DMAC. It's been a while. Greetings from across the other side of the country. How are things?
Going well, Kingy. Good to be back on. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. I was just explaining to my family, because we were talking about what are we doing tonight, and I said I'm doing another show, and they said you've done three today. Well, can you possibly have that much to talk about? And I tried to explain to them that this week is actually a very busy week in fantasy basketball and in real life basketball. That didn't help my case. They still couldn't understand why I was doing a fourth show, but here we are. Did you have to sort of build a case to your family to jump on, or you were okay?
I was fine. They don't actually ask any questions. I say, I'm doing a show, like, no worries, we'll stay out of your way. And I've got two little kids and they're fine. They're running amok somewhere and my wife's off working. So we're all good. We're all good. Yeah, I love that your family's actually interested in paying attention.
I don't think they're interested in what I do. They're just wondering why I'm always locked in the back room, checking what I'm up to. So I've had some microphone issues in my last few shows where the mute button on my microphone, so the physical button, apparently isn't working. And so when I'm playing that countdown at the start, people can hear me just clicking away and getting ready for the show. And so I figured out that I now have to actually mute myself on the screen.
On the screen,
Rather than hear the mic.
The furious typing. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're an angry typer, are you, Kingy?
Apparently I am. My wife actually has said that as well. If we're both working from home, it's not too bad now because we've moved our computer sort of space up into the spare room up the back of the house. But it used to be in one of the living rooms down the front. And so if we were working from home, we'd be in the same room and she would often say, like, put on headphones. You say, I just typed too loud. I go, oh, I wasn't aware of that, but all right. Sure.
You got a lot to say through your fingers.
Apparently I do. All right. So, yes, we will talk about, whatever we want to, really. We have zero agenda on this show tonight. Well, let's start with a question. We have one. And I normally get a ton of questions during my normal post-game shows, but it is a weird sort of witching hour kind of time. So I don't actually know how many people are watching along. But question from TK. Hey, Adam and DMAC, I'll include you. Keon Ellis or Mattis Bouzelas for 9-cat 16-teamer stash? Oh, gee, I'm surprised that Keon Ellis is available in a 16-teamer. Yeah, so Bouzelas is a guy that's probably trended up in the last couple of games. He's played a little bit more. What are your thoughts on this one, on Keon Ellis and Mattis Bouzelas?
I like Keon. I went on Dan Bessemer's show the other day, spoke about him just with the trade rumours around De'Aaron Fox, of course. So Keon Ellis would be my pick here, but I know you're high on Mattis Bouzelas, and there have been some rumours around Patrick Williams as well. And if, for whatever reason, the Bulls decide to move Patrick Williams. I think Matas Bezelis is in for a really nice end of season. But for me, out of these two, it's Keon Ellis, just because I think he has the better pathway to getting some minutes.
Yeah, I think it's probably Ellis for me as well. I feel like he's a little bit safer of the two, because we've seen it. We've seen what he can do when he plays 30 plus minutes. We haven't seen that from Bouzelis yet. And I do like Bouzelis, and I like the fact that they've played him something like 22 and 26 minutes in the last two games. But we have to remember that Zach LaVine has been out. So that's, we don't know if he's moving. We don't know if Vooch is moving, Patrick Williams, Lonzo Ball. There's all sorts of rumors. Knowing the Bulls, in 2 weeks, they will have exactly the same team, yeah, and they will be pushing hard for that ninth spot. And Matas Bouzelis will just continue to play 18 minutes a game. So
they are the masters of mediocrity. Yeah, it's
they are. And that's my hesitation on Bouzelis, is the fact that he plays for Chicago, and we've seen years of them where they're just happy with mediocrity. They're not trying to rebuild. They're not trying to tear it down. So if I was confident they were going to tear it down and just play Bouzelis 30 plus minutes, I'd probably go him, but I'm not confident. And you're probably not either.
I'm not. But it'll be intriguing as we approach that trade deadline.
It will, for sure. Yes, and if you do have any questions, throw them in, if YouTube or Twitter, wherever you're watching. Let's start with the DeJounte Murray injury, though. My show, and I know you tweeted some stuff, I think, about this, and maybe I retweeted it. Anyway, lots of people did. It was pretty obvious. I really only had to watch it once to know exactly what had happened. It was sort of a worst case scenario. And they actually quantified it or diagnosed it very quickly. It was within about an hour, I think, that we had a Shams tweet saying he was done. So yeah, it didn't, which is good. From a fantasy perspective, it means we're not waiting overnight. We're not holding on to him just in case. We just know he's a drop. And who are we adding? Is it Jose Alvarado? Is it Jordan Hawkins? Does Brandon Boston get a bit of a bump here? There's obviously a lot of moving pieces now, I think, in New Orleans with DeJounte gone, with Lonzo sort of, I don't know, he's playing when he feels like it. Brandon Ingram, we don't know what's going on with him. Is this a situation where they're going to tear it down? Or, like, I guess, what do you think? Is it Jose Alvarado? Is he the priority? And is there anyone else that we should be considering?
Alvarado is the priority add. I think we've seen that already with just transactions overnight. He's been highly added. I think he's the number one most added guy. But not far behind is Jordan Hawkins. And I can see that as well. He's been out the last couple. I think he's got an illness of some sort. He'll come back into the team, and so he'll get a nice bump as well. But Alvarado one, Hawkins two. Yeah, someone asked me that same question about Brandon Boston. I think maybe in deeper leagues he will get a nice bump, and he could be a consideration in those deeper leagues.
Yeah, and I think we're basing obviously everything on what's in front of us right now. And this, again, could change in a week. Brandon Ingram could be gone. I think up until this point, there's been no indication that they're tanking, I suppose. We don't want to, like, I wouldn't have had them in that same bucket as Utah or Washington or Brooklyn. We may get to that point now with DeJounte gone. And they have, I think they have the third worst record in the league. So they're really not coming back from this. I think I'm with you. I think Alvarado is the priority. Who starts? I don't know. Someone asked me on Twitter, I think, is there a chance that Hawkins starts and Alvarado still comes off the bench and plays 30 minutes? But I think there's a chance. And it really depends on whether they want to run CJ as a bit of a point guard and play Hawkins off ball as a scoring threat. Or do they want to leave CJ at the two and play Jose Alvarado at the one? So I think there's options for them here. And I sort of said to people on my show earlier that if you're just looking for points and threes and that's sort of all you need, maybe you could give Hawkins a look. But Alvarado will be more that more sort of across the board, some steals, some assists, some threes. He'll get points from time to time. So, yeah, I'm sort of with you there.
And let's not forget as well, Zion can play point forward as well. You mentioned Ingram as well. He's got some ball handling ability if he does come back to the Pelicans after trade deadline. He shouldn't be too far away if he's still on that squad after the deadline either.
No, that's right. It's a tough time to sort of make a judgment, I suppose, on these injuries because of what could happen in 5 days. Another injury that happened today, which I think it sort of flew under the radar because of the DeJounte Murray news, was a hamstring injury to Russell Westbrook. So he left the game. I think he played about 25 minutes. They're just reporting it as hamstring soreness at this point. But, is this something that you're a little bit worried about? Do you think that, if this turns out to be a hamstring sort of 3 to 4 week injury, does it change their ideas around what do we do with the trade deadline? And how does it impact someone like a Christian Brown?
I think Christian Brown gets a massive bump. He'll come back to the starting lineup. He's been looking good recently anyway, but he's sort of been that borderline top 100 guy in Ninecat. And I think this really pushes him into that conversation of a top 100 guy or a must-have guy moving towards trade deadline. He's an older guy. Westbrook is an older guy, so I would expect him to miss. I'm pretty sure they're playing tonight on the back-to-back as well. So I would expect him to miss tonight. Just to be careful as well. He's had a really solid season. He's owned in most rosters and most leagues that I play in.
Yeah, he has been very surprising, which is, it's been nice. It's nice to see the old Westbrook. It looks like he's actually enjoying himself. The last couple of years, there's just been a lot of pressure, media pressure. Playing in Los Angeles, that's going to happen. It's been good. I've never been a huge Westbrook fan, but it is really good to see. So you don't usually see these guys that start to regress and tail off pick back up again after 2 years. So it's good to see. We'll just quickly touch on the Jalen Johnson injury, which obviously happened a few. Well, the diagnosis came out a couple of days ago. The injury was more than a week. It was a while ago. Yeah. So with him out, I guess someone that we'd been streaming, or he was sort of an ad, was Vete Krejci, and I've talked about the fact that I like Vete. I think he has a pretty good all-round game. In the last game, though, he actually moved back to the bench and they started Muhammad Gay. I sort of proposed that was maybe because they were against Cleveland, and to match up with Jarrett Allen and Evan Mobley, Vete Krejci is... I like him, but there's not much to him, and so he's not going to be able to match up against those guys. So I did think maybe that was the case there. I guess with the Jalen Johnson injury, are there any players that you've got at the top of the list in terms of ads or anything like that?
There's no one that really stands out. I think they're more streamer level. Vete Krejci, I was really high on coming into this week just because of really good schedule. I know that Gay started. I think he started the last two games as well. Oh. So, yeah, I understood that the Cavs match up, but the game before as well, didn't play big minutes. But Zachary Richichet was coming back from injury, put up a really nice line, but the shooting is unsustainable. Only played, I think, mid-20 minutes in that return game as well. So I'd still like to see where it goes. And the Hawks aren't having the best run at the moment. So if it does deteriorate, perhaps he gets more of a runway and more minutes towards the end of the season, which I would like to see. And number one draft pick, you'd almost expect to see.
Yeah, it probably depends a little bit. Again, the Hawks are in that bucket of teams in the East that could finish anywhere from sort of 10th through to about 6th. So they're going to have to start winning games if they want to push up into push out of the play-in situation. Bogdan Bogdanovic is someone that's on the trade block, apparently, and the latest or designation, I suppose, is just not with team. There's no injury, there's no illness, there's no personal reasons. They're just saying he is not with the team. Josh, on his show yesterday, I think it was, talked about the fact that he had heard things that he was basically, he's been traded and they just haven't formalized anything yet. Yeah. And Clint Capella is also not with the team. They are saying it's due to back spasms, but also not with the team. So do you think that, I mean, it's so hard with these trade questions, and we get a lot of them, and I'm sure you do as well, to speculate on who do we stash, who are we thinking is going to benefit, because we have no idea who will come back in a trade. That's always the variable
That's the complexity. But often you'll say, okay, these guys will be traded away, who's the ad? But we sort of see it anyway. These guys haven't been playing or playing very much. In the case of Bogdan, we've sort of seen how it's played out with the guys that are there at present. So it does make it complex. The guys that will come back in a potential trade, that just adds to that complexity as well. But I was big on him coming into this season, but Onyeka Okongwu, he should have already been rostered, but perhaps he is not rostered in some certain leagues. But yeah, he's going to have a fantastic end of season if that is true with Capella moving on. And Okongwu's already in the starting lineup now as well, which we've been wanting to see for quite some time.
Yeah. Maybe Quinn Snyder has been listening to our fantasy podcast for the last 2 years and he finally caved. All right, let's just do a couple of quick questions so they don't, I usually allow them to bank up and then I'm just doing questions for 20 minutes straight. All right, deduce 21-22. 2-1-2-2. Do we think any hope other high-profile players will be moved other than Vooch or Butler? Well, I guess Fox is the one we've sort of heard a lot about a potential, it's sounding like a multi-team trade, whether that's three or four. But in saying that, we haven't actually heard anything from Shams or any sort of, I'm not saying the sources that have put out this information aren't reputable, but we hear rumours constantly when we get to this time of the year. So it's certainly not set in stone, but Fox sounds like he is on the move. Players like Levine, I guess, is seemingly always on the trade block. And any other players specifically that you sort of think might be moved before next Friday?
I think Jusuf Nurkić is on the move. I think he's been phased out of that team. He's on the outer with not just the coach, but also the players. I think he has to be moved. And he was a sneaky stash as well. I just think that if he can get to another situation, whether that be as a primary starting center or as a backup, I think he'll restore some of his value. He's probably been dropped in most situations, but I'd expect him to be moved. Vooch, I'm still not sure because his salary could be quite difficult for some of the contending teams to fit in. It's not out of this world, so we could make it work, but we shall see on that one. But I know that the Lakers are always after a big man. So whether that's Vooch, whether that's, before Lively went down, maybe it was a Gafford, but Gafford's just playing out of this world at the moment. So who knows who's going to go to the Lakers at this stage, or AD could just suck it up and play at center.
He could. I think he should just suck it up and play center, but he is right in saying that they probably at least need some depth at center because Jackson Hayes is fine, but he's not the answer that they're looking for, I don't think. And I think the Nurk rumors, that sort of just sort of jogged my memory when Josh was talking, that is the rumor that it's Bogdan might go to Phoenix and Nurkić may come back to Atlanta and play the backup behind Okongwu. So obviously if that was the case, Nurkić wouldn't be starting, but he'd probably play 18 to 20 minutes off the bench. And I think in that time playing against second unit guys, Nurkić is a good rebounder. So he could sort of flirt with a double-double in that time. So he's probably not a guy that you're going to stash and get top 50 value, but you could certainly get Nick Richards-esque numbers, I think, even in a 20-minute, 22-minute role. I'm with you on Vooch. And just, the Bulls in general, we've been calling for them to trade players for years and it hasn't happened. I guess Utah is a team that they may look to move John Collins or Colin Sexton. There's guys there. Ben Simmons is supposedly talking to the Nets about being bought out. That's a lot of money. He's not on a small contract. I think he's on about $40 million this year.
Right. It's expiring, so though. Is that right? Last year of that contract?
I don't know, actually, if this is the last year of his deal. It might be. Let me just have a look. Listen to my loud typing.
He's furiously typing. I think Nurkic is on an expiring deal as well, so that might make it even more attractive to other teams as well.
All right. So, yes, he's an unrestricted free agent after this year, Ben Simmons. And this year he's on just over $40 million. Man, that's a lot of money to do not much, isn't it? All right, what else have we got?
I guess another guy we haven't mentioned is Bradley Beal. No trade clause, but you know, he could find something that appeals to him if he does want out of Phoenix. But I'm not so sure if that happens.
Yeah, I thought I actually touched on him in my post game show about the fact that he's actually, I mean, Phoenix are playing quite well, and maybe he is just going to accept this role for at least the rest of the season. They're sort of winning. He seems engaged. I mean, obviously, you would hope as a professional earning that much money. And in a lot of these situations, the players, their beef is not with the other players. They're still quite friendly with the other players. So you want to be out there. You want to be supporting your mates. That's not the case for Jimmy Butler, obviously. Again, I don't think his beef is with the players, but he's not helping them at all when he's on the court. So... that is the next question from Timothy. What do we think the likelihood of a Jimmy Butler trade is? Because it's sort of disappeared. Not disappeared, but it really isn't in the headlines at the moment. And it's just, hey, he's suspended, but does anyone actually want Jimmy Butler on their team? There was the rumors of Phoenix, but I got asked, it was probably 3 days ago, who was more likely in my eyes to be traded, Jimmy Butler or De'Aaron Fox? And I went Fox because I just think that it's an amicable or somewhat amicable situation there in Sacramento. Both sides are handling it quite well, where the Jimmy Butler one is not. And so the Heat, it wouldn't surprise me if the Heat just say, nah, we're not trading you and you're coming off the bench. And if you don't want to come off the bench, then you just sit and do nothing for 3 months or whatever. So I don't know. What do you think about a Jimmy Butler trade?
Perhaps I think Pat Riley just wants him out, to be honest. I think reestablish that Heat culture or just make sure he doesn't make it disintegrate. They've already got an all-star and Tyler Hero there, Bam Adebayo. Those guys are the future. Kelo Ware is looking great as well. So I think they just want Jimmy Butler, and I've heard that they've reduced or lowered their asking price as well. So I would think that it's quite a highly likely scenario that he is traded away.
Yeah, I'd still think he might be, but it's, I don't know, it's become very petty. Let's put it that way. All right, we've got some other questions. I'm just reading through them. Okay, here's one. So Lone Des, so he asks, if Fox goes to the Spurs, will Chris Paul be part of that trade? And if not, how would Fox and Paul sort of coexist, I guess, is the question there. I think if Fox comes in, Paul probably goes somewhere. I don't know where. And I think I said on the pregame show this morning that if he goes to – I sort of feel sorry for him because I think he's doing a really good job in San Antonio with helping Stephon Castle and Wemby and these guys. And if he's moved and he goes to Washington or one of these teams, that's pretty sad. But I do think that wherever he lands, if it's a team that isn't competing, they would probably buy him out and allow him to sign with a contender. But yeah, I mean, what do you think? Chris Paul would be on the move here, or do you think they'd find a way for him and Fox to coexist on the court?
I think he would be part of the conversation of him being traded out. I don't think they can coexist, but it is disappointing because he is quite the mentor figure on that team. And we saw what he did several seasons ago when he was at OKC, and he helped develop a young man by the name of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So if he can do something similar for Stephon Castle, if he is to stay in San Antonio, and by all accounts he can't be, or he is not going to leave San Antonio. They have just said that's not going to happen. But if you have an opportunity to get De'Aaron Fox, maybe you just have to push the button and say see you later to your rookie. But I would expect that Chris Paul would be moved as part of that trade.
All right, here's Chad. We know Chad. I'm not sure Chad ever sleeps. Is DeJounte now undraftable next year? So what, torn Achilles, 1st of February, basically. So we're looking at, well, what, best case is 9 months with a torn Achilles. So that would put us to, what, November, which means, yeah. So I think best case he's back for the start of the season, but that's very, very best case. More likely we're looking at January, February next year, around 12 months. That's usually what we're sort of looking at, which would mean he would miss, well, he'd basically be coming back now, which means he would miss the first half of the season. Are we 40 games into the year? Something like that, I think. So,
like that, yeah.
So basically he'll miss the first half of the year. So does that make him undraftable in your eyes?
Not undraftable, but yeah, obviously he'll drop down that ranking boards, that draft board. I would still be looking to stash him because, you know, we're thinking about stashing guys now for a run to the fantasy playoffs. Why not stash someone like DeJounte, put him into your IL if you've got that ability, and it is going to be league dependent. How many IL spots do you have? Yeah. Is it a roto? Is it a head-to-head? Those types of situations. So he's not undraftable. So I think he can have some value at the back end of next season. But it is, yeah, it's going to obviously hit his value. And for those in Dynasty, it's a big blow as well.
It is indeed. What else have we got? Oh, Matt Carmody, he's here. He may never sleep either.
he does not.
all right, here we go. From said Matt Carmody, would we rather have Ayo Dosunmu or Steph Castle in a 12-team 9-cap head-to-head? Ooh. That's a tough one.
It is tough.
Yeah, I think, and again, these questions are really hard to negotiate at this time of the year because based on right now, what we're looking at, what the rosters look like, the I guess the trajectories, everything that's happening, maybe you'd take a flyer on Steph Castle because he's playing really well. The Spurs are sort of, I think they are going to push for a play-in or a playoff spot, or be right there anyway. Io, look, he's good, but he's not. His ceiling is pretty capped. Like he's never going to be this top 50 player or anything like that. But in a week, as you've said, Castle could be traded. Castle could be coming off the bench behind De'Aaron Fox playing 22 minutes a night. So then it would be Io Dosunmu. So I think it's pretty close. I think Io is safer slightly. I don't know. What are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I would go the safer route with Ayo with some upside in the event there are some trades as well. I do like Castle and he's improving week to week as well, but I'm going to lean towards Ayo. Tough one though.
Yeah, it is. Chad has some thoughts on Westbrook, saying that he didn't necessarily regress last year. It's just wrong fit or wrong place at the wrong time or something like that, which I think is fair. I can assume or understand that playing alongside or underneath, if you want to phrase it that way, underneath LeBron, would be tough. I think we haven't seen a lot of players, I guess, thrive next to LeBron in terms of, like there's often good fits. And I mean, what he did with that Cleveland team whenever they won, I can't remember what year that was, but that roster was not a good roster and he carried them and won the title. So as long as he's got good role players, but it doesn't necessarily allow someone like a Westbrook to shine through.
Well, shout out to D'Lo as well. Hasn't been able to thrive. D'Lo,
that's right. Yeah. But I mean, in saying that, you look at how well Kyrie Irving played alongside him when they were together in Cleveland. He played very, really well. And in Miami, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh. So there have been situations where it does work. What else have we got here? Well, let's do another one from Chad quickly. If Simmons is bought out, might he be a target for the Lakers since he can play the 4 and the 5? Oh, look, I think there'd be teams that would be interested in him. I'm not sure it would be the Lakers, only because I think they're looking for size. And Simmons, I know he can play the five, but he doesn't provide them with rim protection or a physical presence inside. I think that's what they would need. But I don't know. Do you think the Lakers would have any interest in getting Ben Simmons?
It sounds sexy on the surface, but I'm with you. I think they're looking for some cover for AD as well. We know he's not always the healthiest guy. Well, that's the perception anyway. So if they can get some cover around the rim, I think that's ideally what they're looking for.
George asks, who's the better center to stash in a category league, Goga or Dayron Sharpe? Now, I've talked about, I was on Dan Bespris's show on a couple of days ago, doing my stash targets, and Dayron Sharpe, and I've said it on my show, he's one of my favorites to stash because I think he's arguably already better than Nick Claxton. But we've seen flashes this season. I don't think the injury to Noah Clowney necessarily helps Dayron Sharpe. I think that would mean they'd have to play Claxton alongside Sharpe, and we haven't really seen them do that. But I would go with Goga at the moment, only because we've seen how important he is to Orlando and how poor they've looked with him off the floor. But there are questions around Goga's role now that they're getting healthy. And he started in that last game, but he didn't play very well. And Wendell has been better. He still hasn't been good, but he's been better than what he was early in the season. Have you got a preference here?
Like you, I have Dayron Sharpe as one of my favourite stashes as well. And I spoke about him on Dan's show as well, which he told me that because yours hadn't aired, that I wanted to speak about Dayron and you'd already spoken about him. But yeah, both of us are on the same page with Dayron. Yeah. But I really like Goga. The problem is the fit. Now that, as you said, we've got pretty much the whole team healthy, is he going to start ahead of Wendell Carter Jr. Moving forward? I'm not so sure. Maybe it just doesn't work with Paolo Banchero, Franz Wagner and co. But we did see him. He was a top 50 guy for quite a lot of the season whilst those guys were injured. So I probably lean towards Goga just because it is safer, but I'm excited by Dayron Sharpe. I think he's got the highest ceiling. And if he does get that starting nod, and this is not necessarily a trade deadline stash, but a silly season stash, Dayron Sharpe just run with it, run with close to 30 minutes a night and be an easy top 59 cat guy.
Yeah, I think I've got him in two leagues stashed away in two leagues. And he is one of those, I guess there's two sort of, two different, well, there's probably more than that, but two kinds of stashes, I suppose. And one of them is an active stash. So a player that's actually giving you some production now, not just zeros across the board. And Dayron Sharpe is one of those because he is, Claxton gets in foul trouble. He just doesn't want to play sometimes, I think, in the net. So he's playing 18 minutes, 22 minutes. So he's doing enough to actually contribute at the moment with that, as you said, that upside to be a top 50 player, I think, when we get to March.
I think there's another similar guy. Maybe you've spoken about him, but Jalen Smith of the Bulls. Just doing enough to stay on rosters with some upside in the event that Vooch has moved.
Yeah, he has of late, especially. I think he had 17 points today or something like that. So he's been looking better as well. Chad wonders whether the Lakers actually signed Christian Wood or did he just retire and not tell anyone? We do forget that Christian Wood is on this team, but the fact that Anthony Davis is coming out and saying we need to sign a center. What is Christian Wood thinking? Like, he's just sitting in the background going, oh, dudes, did you forget about me? Or I honestly don't even know what injury he has. Do you know? I don't know.
I was just thinking, what a fall from grace from the time in Houston as well, where he was a really, really sought after center in fantasy stakes anyway.
Yeah. So I have no idea what's happening with Christian Wood. And let's get a last one from Chad here, and then we'll sort of be at close to 40 minutes and my family will be going to bed, so I need to stop talking so loud. What kind of a team do we think might be interested in Mitchell Robinson? Because the Knicks have gone on record saying that they're okay to move on from Mitchell Robinson. And I think Mitchell Robinson still has a role in the league. He's obviously more of that old school center. He can't space the floor at all, but he's a good rim protector. Injuries have really crueled his last, well, almost his career, you could say. But do you think that there would be a contender looking for him? And I mean, the Lakers, is this?
I was just going to say, we just spoke about the Lakers looking for rim protection. Mitch Robb, one of the better rim protectors.
Yeah, it would obviously be a health thing. It does sound like he's getting closer to returning, but obviously doesn't fit the Knicks. What they're trying to do at the moment, and we know that Tibbs just runs his players into the ground anyway, so there wouldn't be enough minutes for him at the moment to contribute or be a fantasy asset. But yeah, look, maybe it is the Lakers. You could probably get him. No idea what kind of a contract he's on. It's not one of my strong points, knowing contracts. But he's, I think there would certainly be teams interested in Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah, I would agree there.
All right, I think we got all of them. Just jump through, make sure there's nothing else. There's some chatter, but not questions. Yep, I think we're good. All right, I'm going to let you go. Quarter to seven for you.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, quarter to seven. So, yeah, sort of having time for some dinner. Yeah, I've got one kid just behind the screen here, so she's probably getting a bit restless, wanting some attention.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to go and watch a movie, I think.
What are you going to watch?
I'm not sure because the cricket's finished now, the Big Bash is finished, the footy hasn't started. We've got like a window of about 2 to 3 weeks. There's no tennis either. So I've got about 2 to 3 weeks to catch up on movies that I've missed or TV shows. So I bought a bunch of 90s comedies. So I bought the South Park movie. I bought Basketball. I bought Something About Mary. Me, Myself, and Irene. So I went onto eBay and just unloaded. They weren't expensive, but so I've got a pile of those movies sitting there. So I might watch a bit of Basketball. Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen that in a long time. Love those guys.
Yeah, I haven't seen most of them. So looking forward to that. What's coming up for you? I know you and Kayla have got your show rolling out, but what else is on the horizon for you?
Yep, still doing Between Two Hoops with Kayla. I'll be appearing on your Stash, on your A Trade Deadline show with Dan Bespris as well. I'll be quite early on just to fit with the Perth time zone here. Kayla and I will also be doing our own Between Two Hoops Trade Deadline summary show as well. We're not going to go through like you maniacs and go through the entire trade deadline, but we will have a summary show as well. And also we're looking to have some more talent on the show at some stage as well, just to introduce some of you guys to some other guys that you'll see a lot of on Twitter, but maybe not recognize their faces.
Yeah. So are you jumping on Dan's show right at the beginning of his show? So sort of late night for you?
It's late night for me. I think he was saying it'll be 11 p.m. for myself. So yeah, quite early in the show for you guys.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I'll be, I think I'm jumping on at around 4 a.m. my time. Maybe 4 or 5. I'm not sure yet, but yeah, that would be, as I was going to say, it's way too early for you, but because of the time difference, late night works. It should be a fun show. I hope there are actually some trades this year, some give us something to talk about. We often build it up and it's hyped, all these moves, that everything's coming, and then we sit and we wait and nothing much happens. So
it's very exciting. Yeah, even when things sort of, you know, a little bit anticlimactic, it's still an exciting period.
It is. And obviously, as well, if you're in deeper leagues, but just playing fantasy, even some of those minor moves can have an impact in fantasy. So there's always stuff to talk about, and then we'll get into the All-Star break and that sort of thing. So no, look, thanks for coming on. I'll let you go and eat.
Pleasure, Kingy.
I'll go on. Enjoy your movie. Put the cats to bed and enjoy my movie, and get up in the morning and do a pregame show. And then off to a friend's place to watch the Royal Rumble. So I'm looking forward to to a day watching the wrestling and cooking up some bacon and eggs for lunch. So it should be a pretty relaxing day. So, no, thank you for coming on.
Pleasure. Thanks, Kingy.
yeah, we'll jump on again at some point soon. Thank you, everyone, for watching, tuning in. If you're watching after the fact or listening after the fact, please download and like and do everything that we always ask of you. I'm Adam King. He is DMAC. This has been the Friday post-game show. Until next time, catch ya.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at FBIBasketball.com.